So it's Matthew 25 and starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Thanks very much, Tim. Well, that passage in Matthew is perhaps familiar to us, but it's perhaps one that makes us feel a bit uncomfortable, because it talks about judgment, and it talks about Jesus separating the sheep from the goats, apparently on the basis of their actions. So would Jesus put me with the sheep or the goats? Well, I was watching One Man and His Dog a couple of weeks ago, and it was all about sheep. Sheep don't seem to be the brightest, do they? And we were in India very recently, and we ate quite a lot of curry, fish curry, chicken curry, and lamb curry. Until we were informed that where we were eating lamb curry, we were in fact eating goat. And we did see, we didn't see any sheep at all, but we did see quite a lot of goats on the road. So if you just take this passage by itself, actually it would be misleading, wouldn't it? Because we know from other scriptures that our salvation cannot just be bought by our good works. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9, it says, "For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And again in Romans 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the passage isn't about separating faith from works. It's about creating a faith that works. As Christians, we should have a heart for others who are perhaps less fortunate than ourselves. And let's face it, that's actually a vast body of people, isn't it? Now, the Reverend Gareth Wilde visited South Sudan refugee camps, and he's seen at first hand the work that we can support as a church and as individuals. And this is what he had to say. My first visit to South Sudan was to a pastor's conference for the Baptist Convention of South Sudan. They were introducing Jesus through solid Bible teaching. Then, suddenly, 1 year later, these pastors had become refugees themselves. My second visit watched their ministry take on a fresh dimension as they expressed their love with practical love for the most vulnerable. They were now contributing to the safer pregnancies of mums using blood pressure monitors donated by BMS World Mission. They were providing food for the hungry, shelter and sustainable crops for the internally displaced, with a BMS-funded agronomist from Uganda. They were giving out and repairing wheelchairs for those with disability and mobility issues. They were not doing it to provide incentives to proselytize. They were not making rice Christians. This was integral mission and making their faith work. I came back with a new challenge to nurture a relationship with Jesus that could show itself in humble, loving, and sacrificial service for others, especially the physically and spiritually hungry, the physically and spiritually poor, the physically and spiritually unhealthy. What can I expect to hear from Jesus when I face him on Judgment Day? I hope I'll be one of the sheep that hears his voice with faith. But I ask more frequently the question, has my faith worked for others? Has my life been mostly about me? Or has my faith worked for others, especially for the least of these? So as we thank God for his wonderful provision for us, the seed time and the harvest, let's also recognise that our world is full of needy people. Refugees, like those in South Sudan. People persecuted for their faith or their race. The poor and the hungry. Those who live their lives without the basics we take for granted. Food, clean water and sanitation. Shelter, medicine, education, employment, safety. And people closer to home, maybe even in our own fellowship, who have needs and need help. Faith in Christ should lead us to action. And I echo the words from Gareth. Has my faith worked for others, or has my faith been mostly about me? Amen.